Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 21. Okay, Psalm 21. O Lord, in thy strength the king will be glad, and thy salvation how greatly he will rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and thou hast withheld the request of his lips. Selah. For thou dost meet him with the blessings of good things, and dost crown and set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou didst give it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through thy salvation. Splendor and majesty thou dost place upon him. For thou dost make him most blessed forever. Thou dost make him joyful with gladness in thy presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High he will not be shaken. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will devour them. Their offspring thou wilt destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. Though they intended evil against thee and devise a plot, they will not succeed. For thou wilt make them turn their back. Thou wilt aim with thy bowstrings at their faces. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thy strength. We will sing and praise thy power. Amen. Okay, so we're gonna enter into the time of the Psalms, where they're actually written in blocks. And so Psalm 21 is a response from Psalm 20. So now, remember, in Psalm 20, it was before going to battle. Now this is the response, the triumph of the king after the battle. And so it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And then tomorrow we'll start 22, 23, and 24, which they call this the Shepherd Trilogy. And so this is the three psalms dealing with Christ. And it's kind of, you can look at it as kind of before, during, after kind of thing, really related to the cross and his sacrifice. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. The first thing you have to understand is this psalm actually was originally intended for the Messiah. And in verse 1 it says, O Lord, in thy strength the king will be glad. Actually, the original translation of this, this goes back, this is the Chaldean translation, or the Chaldean wording of the Old Testament, actually uses the word Messiah, the Melech Messiah, which is talking about the Messiah. And they said about AD 1040, there was a rabbi, Rabbi Solomon, who is known as Rashi, basically. He changed it, and he just thought, you know, primarily because of the Christians, he didn't really want to give Christians too much leeway, or in this case, he would call them the schism, you know, those that started following Christ. Jesus, and he didn't want to give them more power, so he basically changed the words, and so it relates back to David. Of course, this is a Psalm of David, and it's true in that part, but when David wrote this, he was really, in the original, he was really pointing to the Messiah. And you can see a few things in here that clearly point this out. So we're going to talk about some of these things. But it's kind of interesting how a reading, and if you ever go online, you know, if you ever do like, you know, YouTube searches and go in, there seems to be a bit of an agenda by the religious leaders during that time. And even now, like for one, Isaiah 53 is almost omitted from the teachings in the synagogue, because obviously that points to the suffering servant, and a very, very difficult time explaining what this passage means, because obviously for us it points directly to the Messiah. It points exactly to Jesus. And so so this is kind of another case. And if you want to learn more, Boyce writes a really good commentary on that. Well, let's continue on for the choir director, a Psalm of David. Again, a response to the victory. This is a triumph of the king. We should understand this as a triumph of the ultimate king, which is Jesus. In thy strength, the king will be glad. In thy salvation, how greatly he will rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and thou hast not withheld the request of his lips. And so we see in verse 3, well, verse 2, really, that you see this connection, and this is why prayer is so important for us. It's not just enough to have a desire in our heart, right? It's important that we actually speak out these desires, speak out these things. This is what we call prayer. And it's interesting because, you know, the Bible tells us that even before we say anything, he already knows. But yet there's still something powerful in the saying of it. And so this is he's making this connection between what's in our hearts. And we, you know, we have a lot of desires, we have a lot of requests, we have a lot of these things, but it's important that we don't just leave them in our hearts. It's important that we speak these things out, that we speak out the desires of our heart. And that's what he says. He says, you've given him heart desires and you have not withheld the request of his lips. And so it's important, right? We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn to be able to verbalize and articulate those things that are in our heart. And it's not only just an important spiritual discipline, but it's important for us to recognize that God answers prayer. And there's a great joy in that. And prayer is the things that we utter from our lips. Basically, things that flow from our heart that we utter with our lips. And he says, and he's not withheld these requests. And then the Selah, there's the pause, just to kind of meditate on that. You meet him with the blessings of good things. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. Now, obviously, this is true of David, but it's even more true of the King of all kings that is to come. He asked life of thee, and you did it, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Now, obviously, we know now we get to a little bit idea. Obviously, David is going to die. And so, but there seems to be something about this eternalness, particularly about the Messiah. And so we kind of are getting into that realm right now. His glory is great through your salvation. The word could be translated as victory. Splendor and majesty thou dost place upon him, for thou dost make him most blessed forever, and thou dost make him joyful with gladness in thy presence. And if you remember in the passage, I think it was in Luke, where it mentions that Jesus was really like the most joyful, was the happiest man on the earth. And in that same way, we can see that there's great joy and there's gladness in the Messiah. And if you think about it, why was he so joyful? I mean, why was Jesus so joyful? I mean, if you ever kind of just sat and thought about why that is, or in another way of saying is, how can I have more joy in my life? You know, how can I be filled with more gladness even in my own life? Well, first off, we know that Jesus did not commit any sin. And so, one of the ways to walk in more joy is to actually be holy and to get ourselves away from sin. And if we have sin, is to repent, to restore, you know, that relationship with the Father. And so that's one aspect. We also know that Jesus says, you know, he says things like, I only do the things that are pleasing to him. And so Jesus just set his face just to please the Father and to set his will. And then he only did what he saw the Father doing. So there's something about obedience. You know, is there something about being in tune with the Father and just looking and doing what he does and what he says? And having that kind of heart seems to lead to this joy. Also, he fulfilled everything that the Father had set him out to do. So there's a joy in really accomplishing his purposes. So when we think about in our own life, well, how can I have more joy? How can I have more gladness? How can I be a happier person? If we think in those terms, and there's so many more, you know, than these. But if you think about it, right, you know, walk in holiness, obey the Father. You know, first of all, set your heart on pleasing him, and obey what he has in mind for you. Complete the work, the purposes of God that he has, and it's seemingly these things, you know, you'll be filled with joy. It's not just Obviously, you're going to please the Father and all these things, but the return that you get in your own life is joy. You make Him joyful with gladness in your presence. And this is the benefit or the reward of really following God in this way. And then continue on verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Oh, by the way, I'll talk about the end here. Your hand will find out all your enemies, and your right hand will find out those who hate you, and you will make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will devour them. Obviously, this is talking about the end of it all. Their offspring thou wilt destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. And this, I mean, it sounds quite harsh, you know, what's happening here. But then he tells you why. Though they intended evil against thee and devise a plot, they will not succeed, because their intention was evil. Now, obviously, this is very much referring to the cross, right? Though they intended evil against thee and devise a plot, they will not succeed. And that's precisely what the enemy had done in that time. And thou wilt make them turn their back, and thou wilt aim with their bowstrings at their faces. And be thou exalted, O Lord, in thy strength, and we will sing and praise thy power. And so we have this lens of looking at David. Surely God gave David victory, you know, over his enemies, victory in this battle. But it's also pointing to the Messiah. It's pointing to the Christ that's to come, and the victory that will come under his wings. And even though, you know, people, even the cross, right, was a demonic plot, but obviously God turns it into good in that way. All right, so let's close our eyes. Oh, wow, it's kind of a short one today. Let's go back to the little thing I talked about. And it's simply, how can we walk in more joy? You know, be holy. If we have sin, repent, ask God to forgive you, and turn from our wicked ways. Seek to please the Father in all things, for I only do the things that are pleasing to Him. Get direction from the Father. I do nothing on my own initiative. I only do what I see the Father doing. And even at the end, when He cries out, "It is finished," He completely fulfilled the work that the Father had for Him. How do you have more joy in your life? Follow the example of Christ, who was the happiest man, the most joyful man ever in creation, the Scriptures tell us. And especially in a time where we think about, you know, most people think about, well, how can I be happier? We think, well, if we have more money, if we have more resources, if I go on a trip, if I take a holiday, if I get married. Actually, the key to joy, all those things just give us temporary joy. Long-lasting joy comes from the Father. It comes from doing His will. It comes from fulfilling the purposes that He has for us. It comes from us walking in holiness. Let's meditate on that as we sing before the Lord.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above.
Let's look to our Lord, who was the happiest ever. Now, also realize that Jesus was never bitter. He never had envy. And a major thing is he always operated in forgiveness. You know, you can tell, you know, even Jesus, if you think about this, you know, they talk about spiritual maturity or spiritual growth is really connected to how quickly you forgive in the time of offense. And if you look at Christ, think about it. When he's on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I mean, think about how radical that is. He's actually forgiving them while the offense is taking place. That's how much unforgiveness that he did not carry in his heart at all. You know, for most of us, we usually wait, you know, at least a week or so before. He didn't have to do that, and he didn't have to wait for people to confess to him or repent to him. While he was being offended, he forgave. You want to have joy? Learn the power of forgiveness. Learn the power of letting go of bitterness. Or walk in his holiness. And let's pray. And if we're struggling with any of these things, let's go before the Father. Let's share with him what's on our heart. Let's confess them with our lips. It's a divine connection. And let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community dealing with illness, but also need to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray over Hong Kong. Let's lift up our government. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up churches all over our city. Pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hands to be upon each of our members. Pray for their health. Pray for their family. Pray for their ministry, that they would serve the Lord with all of their heart, soul and mind and body. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista, and even though some of the ministries may be on hold for because of COVID, let's pray that the teams are being built. Let's pray for our welcoming team, that they would really be a breath of fresh air when our members and our guests come into service. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray that our worship leaders, our sound people, that a real heart of worship would really flow in their lives. Pray that they would lead our congregation into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for House Church, Chaiti, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, K House, OP Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and to really guide, and that our leaders and our hosts would be led by the Lord to draw people to Him. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, thank you, God, that you, Lord, are filled with joy. And you teach us, God, what it means to have joy, God. It's not what the world thinks, God. It's not about trips, expensive things, God, drugs, Lord. God, all those things are fake, God, and you're temporary. Lord, you teach us what it means to have true joy, God, and that's serving the Father, as being holy, as being able to forgive and not hold on to anything. And so would you teach us, God, help us to be more joyful, God, to be filled with you. God, thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. Help us to give glory to your Son, God, in all that we do and say today. Thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.